What's happening? Fourth hour of the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio is upon you. It's upon us. We're blessed to bring it to you courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com/Nashville. Go there to learn more. 150 years combined residential commercial experience. Step your garage door game up. 11-year NFL veteran and Vol for Life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, Jason Martin. We are the crew of the J. Martin Ramon Experience. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at J. Mart Radio, at J. Mart and Ramon. Guests appear via the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Inky Johnson will join us for midweek motivation that we all need at the end of this show. Zone TV, welcome in. If you're hanging out on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook Live, you can join the fam just by showing up. Rhett Bryan is with us, of course, executive producer, game day host, Titans Radio, Titans Cardinals Sunday. You'll hear it all right here on 104.5 The Zone. Rhett, what's going on?
Just preparing for week one, game one. Trying to get, as I always say, the hay in the barn, and doing a little homework on the Cardinals. But it's, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, preseason, even though it was three games instead of four, I'm glad it's done, and I'm glad this is the real deal now.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed the real deal. Scout meeting Wednesday, which we will do in more detail as we move through the season on Wednesdays, and we kind of turn the page and look at the next Titans opponent. Cardinals on the docket on Sunday. We're going to get deep into that side of things as Rhett will be with us here for a little bit longer. But before we do that, let's knock out the division preview real quick. The NFC West.
Okay.
Best division in football, probably. I think the Cardinals being the worst team, you're probably the best division in football.
Yeah, because they're nothing to sneeze at.
So who do you have winning the division, guys?
NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be more likely to go with LA, although I really don't believe in
Stafford.
I think he got enough moving parts around him. I was really close to picking the 49ers instead, just being completely honest with you. I like the 49ers better, I feel like, because of their old line. The defense is solid enough, but I want to see if McVay and Stafford magic actually happens. So I'm picking them.
And if it does, I'm picking them too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would be in this, provided that Matthew Stafford's back holds up. I think there's so many things around him, they can get it done.
That's one thing people hadn't actually brought up a whole lot. Although we don't want to talk about people's injuries a lot. But he was close, I think, to almost being done with football with that back injury a few years back. Like, it wasn't Mike Tyson, my back is broken, but he has some stuff going on where he's got to protect himself moving forward, to your point, if he does that.
Most dominant player in the division is Aaron Donald.
Hands down.
Yeah, hands
or down.
Or
hands up, like whatever.
And they stay there.
Yeah, and they stay there.
I hear you, Rhett.
Most
you
intriguing know, person in the division has got to be Stafford also.
Most. Yeah, I think so, just because, you know, you swap out young franchise quarterback for older, you know, big-time quarterback who can throw it around. It absolutely is.
I'd honestly go with Jimmy G.
I was going to say that would be the other potential answer to that question. And I think Russ is also intriguing because they've finally got a new offensive coordinator there. Are they going to be different? Mm-hmm. Is Russ going to get more of what he's looking for?
He better get some protections. What he better get.
I know. Well, he just paid Dwayne Brown yesterday, I think. They finally got him locked in and satisfied him. But to that point about Russ pressuring to get a new OC, now we're going to see if they're going to let you cook, Russ.
But I agree with Jimmy G in that, is Trey Lance going to take that job at some point?
I'm going to tell you right
now. He's not ready right now.
No, but I'm going to tell you right now. I have a feeling that by the time they come here on December the 23rd for Thursday Night Football, Trey Lance is the quarterback.
The young boy.
I've got him as a backup on my fantasy team.
Trey Lance?
In our league, because I'm not planning on needing him right now, but I think by the end of the year, he might be somebody to have.
And that's the only reason it's so intriguing to me, is because he's got that guy behind him. And y'all know how that goes. Jimmy G have one or two mishaps. What is that crowd going to say? The faithful, as they call themselves, they're going to be calling for Trey Lance to start.
Well, I'm not even talking about inconsistent play. I'm talking about an injury possibility.
Yeah, well, that's been an issue.
That's what I, you know, I think it's more of that than it is a guy breathing down your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he plays, Jimmy G's usually, He's pretty good. I don't think he's elite, but he's won a lot of games for them.
Yes. Sure.
Or not lost games for them. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Guy in the hot seat in the division is Kingsbury.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Kingsbury. Well, I'll say I think Pete Carroll, because I think Pete probably really wants to be done soon enough.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to force him out.
You don't think so?
Hot seat generally means
you've been to two Super Bowls. You won one. You have a future Hall of Famer franchise quarterback. He's one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. I mean, I don't see that before Cliff Kingsbury.
Did
you see what Rex Ryan came out and just blasted?
No,
Kingsbury. He's like, dude, get an offense that is patterned to the NFL, man.
Yeah, the air raid crap has never worked. I didn't understand.
I mean, he put him on blast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. The only reason I said Pete Carroll, because if Russ does drop the ball and say, look, I want out.
Well, I mean, I could see that.
That's the only thing I could see is that transition fully begins there.
Well, again, I could say that, but I don't think they're firing the coach is what I'm saying.
High seat is getting him out.
He could leave. I wouldn't be surprised if Pete Carroll decided he wanted to walk away.
Okay, for sure.
I just don't think they're going to fire Pete Carroll.
So was Rex saying that Kingsbury wasn't putting his best foot forward?
Oh, boy.
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, wait. He might actually be listening to this. He's a Nashville native.
Old Twinkle Toes Schaefer.
That offense, not native, defense.
Resident, not native.
Basically, he was saying.
Okay, resident. My bad.
He was saying that offense, you know. Defense has put their foot in somebody's rear.
You need to get on the hot foot here, okay?
He also said that the air raid offense has a lot of things afoot in it.
Kyler Murray.
I love y'all.
Here's ghosts, and ghosts have footprints.
I don't even know what that meant.
That's because I became a heel.
Hey, there it is.
Delayed right, gratification.
Bet they'll be kicking it back and watching some games this weekend.
All right, we're done.
hopefully, Kyler Murray's ankle is going to be all right.
Yeah, because you know what's attached to that? Your foot.
Be good for the boys to get a good footing on the game this weekend, right?
Boy, Rex is getting his butt kicked right now.
Let's go to Alvin in Nashville real quick. Alvin, what's going on?
Hey, I just got a question real quick. I was wondering, do y'all think we might pick up Latavius Murray? And the reason I ask that is because, I mean, we need stability. I mean, we got Derrick Henry. He's stable. As far as a second string running back. And we also need stability at right tackle. I was wondering, what about Mitchell
Schwartz?
I hang up and listen.
I think Mitchell Schwartz is done. It just seems like it.
Yeah.
Jeff hasn't indicated that his brother's – like, he's starting a podcast. Like, Mitchell Schwartz is jumping big time into the media right now. Could he be talked into it? Maybe, but I don't see it right now to start the season. I can see it maybe being like a Phillip Rivers late in the year. Maybe he would get the itch and want to come in to play the last few games.
Now, let me answer his first question, though, about Latavius Murray. And, of course, if you haven't heard, Latavius Murray was asked to take a pay cut in New Orleans yesterday. He refused. They released him. Guy's got 4.5 yards per carry last year, and I think almost 8 yards per catch. So he's got skills. He's a bigger dude.
Speaking of 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5 mil. And certainly that's something that's could be on the Titans' radar. Field Yates reported yesterday that they freed up some money with moving some money around with Julio Jones. But here's the thing. While Darrington Evans is shelved right now, they still have Jeremy McNichols that they like. Yep. Kari Blasingame can run the ball. He's at 10 McNichol, pounds of.
I knew it. I saw Schaefer just amble. I saw him sidle back to the board. I knew it.
Kari Blasingame has added like 10 pounds of bulk to be the fullback in this thing, but he can carry it in short goal line situations. I'll spit it out in a minute. And then they have, Mekhi Sargent still on the roster, the rookie from Iowa. But, between that stable, I think they feel like they're okay right now. But that's something to keep an eye on, because after this week is where you can sign those vested veterans in week two and not be on the hook for a salary for the rest of the year under a veteran tier.
Yeah. Latavius Murray, again, I think this year is important for everybody to have somebody that they can really put in the starter role and get it going. Them freeing up the cap yesterday, we looked at it as, look, that's float money that you got to have throughout the season. Is this a move that's got to be made? I'm sure the Titans wouldn't be the only one bidding for a guy
Think
like
about
him
this.
Either.
Think about this. In Baltimore, they brought in Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
And I saw Ravens fans are like, why didn't we do Latavius Murray? Because Latavius Murray was more effective, to say the least.
And they may still revisit
they
that,
could.
You know, because John Harbaugh runs running back by committee up there. And it's, you know, the leading rusher is Lamar Jackson, and then there's the rest.
But the other thing about Alvin, as we get to this break, Alvin's called a couple of different times. I know he wants Darrington Evans gone. And Rashawn, I don't think he likes the last name Evans, because he also wanted Evans.
That's right. I remember that from the last time I was on.
So I'm not surprised that that's where he wanted to take that.
Your last name is Evans. It's absolutely mud to Alvin.
The one thing I will say is everybody that comes out there on the free agent market, or everybody that gets released, they can't all be Titans guys. That's just not a thing that can happen.
Yeah, you know, I say this annually between Madden and Fantasy. It's great that you are able to call your own plays, be your own general manager, the whole thing. Doesn't always translate to the real deal.
Yeah.
615-737-1045. Scout meeting Wednesday. When we come back, we will dive deep into Sunday's matchup with Rhett Bryan. And Ramon's got a lot of game notes as well, so stick around. That's next. Jay Martin, Ramon, 1045 The Zone.
After a long...
During the break, Alvin called Schaefer and said that the Pelicans need to release Tyreek Evans.
He's done with all Evans.
We'll never go to a Bob Evans.
Also suggested Marvel moving from Chris Evans to Anthony Mackie was a good move for Captain America.
Good move because they got rid of an Evans. Yes.
Thomas Rose on Twitter. Does Alvin hate J.J. Evans from Good Times, too? Janet Jackson was an honorary Evans after being adopted as Penny.
Bet Alvin's not listening to much Faith Evans.
Tony Evans?
Yep.
He's not watching any Westerns with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
I'll tell you who his least favorite wide receiver in the league is.
Oh,
Mike Evans.
I'd take him in my fantasy.
I would, too.
Yeah, anybody want to Alvin cut him and bring him?
I'll take him if you let him go.
Yeah. By the way, Darrington was really good yesterday on 3HL, by the way, too. I know Alvin's not a fan of that.
You just said Darrington. You didn't leave his name. You didn't put his last name
in.
I wonder if Alvin likes him better if he's just Darrington.
Drop the E. I'm with you, dog.
Drop the E.
Darrington Vans.
Big Mama's House?
Big Mama's House. Yeah, that works out for me, too.
The answer is always Big Mama's
House. Always Big Mama's House.
That's Big Mama's House, too.
Oh, so we got scout meeting coming up, man. I'm excited because it's week one, Rhett.
Yep.
I'm Rhett and Jay and Schaefer and listeners, man. My little insight to what I find out on these teams, man, and who's to watch, what they need to do. And,
right, this is where I check out. Y'all let me know when you're done with this.
Hey, okay, cool. Take a back seat. Take a back seat, baby. But the Arizona Cardinals, 2020, they finished 8-8. I will say this, as much as we've talked about Kingsbury, they have progressively gotten better under him. They went from 5-10-1, excuse me, to 8-8.
Got your foot in your mouth in there? What's going on?
This is not a rec segment, okay?
All right.
Okay, all right. But offseason signings, the notable ones for sure. J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, know who he is. Malcolm Butler, although retired, still hoping he gets right, whatever he has going on. James Conner, know that guy a little bit. Center Rodney Hudson and Matt Prater, the kicker. Some stuff they had to correct in offseason was their kicking game. Rookie class included Zaven Collins and the guy we were pretty high up on at one point, Rondale Moore. Remember that situation?
From Purdue,
right there?
That's right.
From Purdue, man. Starting with this offense first, man. It starts with Kyler Murray. We know that to be true. He is a dynamic playmaker at any point in time. He can throw it. We know that. And he can also run it too, man. Last year, he finished with 3,971 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Not bad. It happens. But also, this is the other part we got to mention by Kyler Murray. The fact that he had 819 yards rushing and 11 touchdowns, too. This kid can get out of the box. This kid can run. He can throw and run, man. Continuing with the offense, DeAndre Hopkins, we know who he is. Last year, 160 targets at his way, 115 catches for 1,407 yards and 6 touchdowns. For what it's worth, with this new Titans defense, just got to throw us out there. For what it's worth, he also had three fumbles on the year too. So a little bit of ball security stuff, or whether people just knocking it out or whatnot. Another guy who was signed this offseason was A.J. Green. His name is what it is. Must keep an eye out about him. It's the first game, knock on wood, so you don't have to worry about injuries with him.
I was about to say, since it's the first week, you have to worry about A.J. Brown or A.J. Green. Sadly, yeah. Once you get to about week five, usually you don't have to worry about A.J. Green.
You got him week one. The thing that'll be interesting with him, the same thing I'm worried about with Matthew Stafford. Was it Cincy or was it him with the injuries?
Also, how much has he lost?
Yeah.
How much
has he actually played in 2 years?
Not right? much.
Not much.
The ankle was really prohibitive with him in the last probably 18 months, 24 months in Cincinnati. But from what we understand, we had Cardinals play-by-play man Dave Pasch on the Mike Vrabel show Monday night. And he thinks AJ is actually going to be a nice addition to this thing.
So, which is why, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist type, I just know the same thing we spoke about when AB did what he did, when we're thinking Julio may just want it out of Atlanta also. When you're that type of guy, you find your way out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he resurrects his career in Arizona. So A.J. Green, got to watch out for him. Christian Kirk last year, 79 targets, 48 catches for 620 yards. That screams number two wide receiver to me. I think he's going to play a role with him and A.J. We'll see who gets as many touches. Running back position was kind of, I ain't going to say confusing to me, but Chase Edmonds is the guy, considering they signed James Conner in the offseason. He's a young guy out of Fordham with a career high of 448 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. This is why he's on the field right here, though. He also had 402 yards receiving.
That's right.
So you got a bunch
of
guys.
He's one of their
guys.
Own. He's a fourth-round pick of theirs from 2018.
Yes, indeed.
Out of Fordham.
And James Conner is who he is. They actually said, I was reading reports the other day, he's actually better at catching the ball than they expected. When hot, James is a good player, really good player, former pro bowler, and has the ability to break out, although not a home run hitter like Derrick Henry. And also, their O-line is solid. Has a real good bit of experience. DJ Humphries, Justin Pugh, Rodney Huston, I think, came in from a trade from the Raiders.
I think that's right.
Trade, solid guy, man.
One of the better centers in the league.
Doesn't look like he's supposed to move like that, but yeah. He does, man. Josh Jones, young guy, and then Kelvin Beachum. Other than Josh Jones, everybody here has a whole lot of experience on their front line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what this D-line does against that group right there. My old O-line coach, Coach Kugler, is their offensive line coach. I know him to be a mean-spirited, go get him, mess him up type of dude. So Jeff and the crew going to have their hands full if that's the way he still's teaching it. And also, not a heavy use of tight ends. Starting tight end last year had like eight catches with like 108 yards or something mm-hmm. like that. Not a heavy use on the offensive side of the ball. That's my recap for what this offense is bringing to the table against this defense. Kyler, Nook.
Off-schedule plays with him. That's what you got to watch.
Yep. Well, he's Baker Mayfield. But better in terms of drawing it up in the dirt. And he's had to pretty much his whole career
mm-hmm.
because they haven't been able to protect him.
And a better passer than Lamar Jackson right now.
Yeah very
and
much
the,
so.
The approach is similar in terms of cage rushing.
Yeah.
You got to cage rush that guy and maintain containment in your lanes in this thing.
And again, Buck made the point on Twitter yesterday. Nobody had more balls batted down last season than Kyler Murray. In the NFL, where the ball's coming from, the trajectory and everything, it adds to that.
That's
bad. Jeff Simmons loves that.
And so does T.R. Tartt.
And, yeah.
I was telling everybody earlier, and I showed it to Jay, too. If you go back and look at the 2019 Steelers versus Arizona, you want a preview of what Bud kind of brings to a guy that moves like Kyler Murray does.
Mm-hmm.
Second play of that clip shows Bud crashing down and still being able to get out and get Kyler Murray outside the pocket for a tackle for loss. You got experience with that. Landry, you want to be able to do that. And the linebacker court, too. That's what you got to do to a guy like him in a game like this. First game. Fresh as he's going to be all year long. Has the ability to make a play whenever he needs to. So this defense has got to be on. Again, they got an experienced group. The one that's holding them back, and Jay alluded to this earlier as far as him being on the hot seat, potentially could be the coach. Even Rex Ryan called him out as far as the offense that he's running in mm-hmm. the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think the talent exists with the right coach to do special things in Arizona. I just don't think the right coach is in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts a ceiling on what the talent can do. The one guy that I really am fascinated to watch in the coming years is Rondale.
Yeah.
Rondale Moore, he's a guy that's going to create problems in space.
Mm-hmm.
And defenders are going to have to be really good at tackling because that dude – can get free.
Well, the challenges are there for this Titans defense, yes, on multiple levels. You've outlined it with the off-schedule plays that Murray can make with his body or throwing to the weapons you've outlined.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other part of that. Not only are you, you know, trying to maintain that and make sure he doesn't pull down the ball and run up the middle of the field and burn you, but that air raid offense doesn't huddle, so you better be in condition and shape, because you're not going to have an opportunity to substitute a whole lot, and you better be ready. This is going to be a lot of physicality in this thing, and you're going to be constantly on the move.
Yes, yes, you are. Breaking news also just in the conference. Texans are trading
Bradley Roby
to the Saints.
He's suspended for week one, but then he'll help him in week two.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's the offensive side of the ball, when what the Titans got their hands full. Again, young dynamic players. Nook is who he is. Who's going to line up on him is going to be, you expect Jack Rabbit to line up on Nook?
I would think so.
He's following him.
Yeah.
And again, to the point about Rondale Moore and what A.J. Green still kind of brings to the table.
And Christian Kirk, I think, is going to be the slot receiver in this for right now.
Yeah. The other part I worry about with this defense, and of course it's the first game, we got to see it all work its way through, though, is these catching running backs out of the backfield. Being able to rush, whether it's the guys up front taking the flats away, batting balls, or just – linebackers being able to move in space and take them down also. Like I said,
Christian Kirk, your point about Christian Kirk's interesting because he's another A&M guy like Josh Reynolds that might be playing a similar role for them that Reynolds might be asked to play here in Nashville.
And
then this Titans offense is going to have its hands full because you talked about them bringing J.J. Watt in.
Yeah.
And J.J. Watt, as hurt as he's been for the last 3 years, here's the stat of the day. Guy had 1,018 snaps on defense last year.
Yeah, last year
second
he was about as healthy
only
as he's been.
To Harold Landry.
Yeah.
Now, don't think he's going to be used that much.
That much.
But with the cast around him, and he's, I mean, opposite Chandler Jones, and you look at, you know, they've got Isaiah Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got players there. And you mentioned Zaven Collins, the rookie from Tulsa. You know, and he's going to be as healthy as he's going to be all year in this, so he is going to be a problem.
So
let me ask you a question about the defense to set you off, Moan.
Yeah.
Not to set you off, but
to set me up.
Set this off.
What is this, Queen Latifah?
Who's the candy bar
on
the tight? Who is J.J. Watt going to try to expose on Sunday?
Right tackle. I don't even know who it is. And do you know who it is?
I expected you to say.
Yeah.
I do not, but I would agree that that's probably the point of attack.
Yep, that's the point of attack right there.
Questenberry, Sambrello,
Lamb. Yeah, that's going to be interesting where he lines up at. Only thing is, Chandler has those same freedoms, though. So if we get back into the defensive side, guys, you segue into that. Awesome, man. Defense, they finished 12th last year in points given up. That's steady. That's real steady. No more Pat Peterson. That era's over. He's in Minnesota right now, man. But this year, this defense starts and ends with Buda Baker. I didn't know who he was when we played them in 2019, and all our coaches just kept saying, watch Buda Baker. I'm like, who the heck is Buda? Buda Baker.
One of the best safeties in the game.
Yep.
Buda Baker.
Washington.
Like, all you want to hear is Buda Baker. Undersized guy, but he is like – If the Honey Badger didn't have the name, we'd be talking about him being the Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is, man. Pro Bowl and made first team All-Pro last year. I put in emphasis. He's that guy. Always on the move and making a play. He's the guy that's either causing an interception. I know he didn't have a whole lot last year, but he's around and making those type of plays or fumbles, man. 112 tackles total last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. He's moving and grooving, man. Yeah,
he is the strongest piece of that secondary. And this is a matchup that is one to watch in this, because while I don't necessarily think they're the weak link as
secondary,
the third tier,
yeah,
but they have mismatched disadvantages in this thing with the wide receiving core that the Titans have. Because you mentioned it, Pat Peterson's not there anymore. Malcolm Butler basically got beat out by Marco Wilson from Florida, the rookie.
Is that what it is?
Marco's going to be playing in this game. Now, I don't know that he'll start, but he'll definitely be mixing it up in there.
Well, there we go. Rhett with a little bit more insight on that. More on this Arizona defense. Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, I put them together. And I say this, too. You got two guys, and I think we mostly know this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Chandler Jones ranks sixth in active players with 97 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Watt is ranked number three. Behind Von Miller with 101 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Jones has six double-digit sack years, played out of nine. Last year he was hurt. I think one of those years he had that incident in New England, whatever was going on. Missed most of last year. This group has his hands full, is what I said about this O-line,
yep.
Especially the right side.
Well, I think the Chandler Jones thing is interesting because there are a lot of people that are predicting him to have a drop-off this year. I think that you putting them together is important because I think they're going to benefit each other because yeah. I don't think Watt's the player that he used to be either, but you put them together, they could both be monsters.
It's
going
to be yeah. the opposite of what his brother T.J. Watt is going Correct. To experience in Pittsburgh With about whether it's Bud Dupree or whether it, which one Who? Helps the other guy.
Very much so, man. And I bring this up all the time. Sometimes you just fall on your luck or no, you're in a lucky situation. A guy that I respect big time, Jordan Phillips. He's out this week. He's on IR for at least 3 weeks. Corey Peters is still there. He's savvy. They got a bunch of young guys. You go to the Arizona Cardinals homepage. First thing that last I checked was the first headline. We're tired of being called young guys, and they're talking about their defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They get their first test against this veteran savvy offensive line here in Tennessee. They're coming out to try to prove something. Just going to throw that out there. They said we're tired of being called young guys. When people say that type of stuff, that means that the biggest challenge in that room, in that building in Arizona, is to the young defensive line right now.
And, Ramon, you lead to a very important point. I'm anxiously awaiting the transaction reports today with the Titans because we need
yeah.
Ben Jones and Nate Davis off that COVID list and on the practice field.
So when you got your hands full with that, yeah, it's time to get it going on that. And just continuing on, young guys like Zaven Collins will be a downhill threat. It's said mm-hmm. that he's a middle linebacker, right? During the summer when he broke, they said he was 280. That's defensive end. Now mm-hmm. they got him listed as 260. But he can still move. That's the reason they hadn't moved him around. He's 6'4", and at one point was 280 pounds playing linebacker. Mm-hmm. Now he's 6'4", 260, playing middle linebacker. That says a lot, number one, about his movement, his ability to play, and just that's easy. Like, coaches want to move that guy. You're no middle linebacker. And he's 6'4". Leonard out of the Colts. He's another guy. Darius Leonard. He's that height. And Edmonds out of Buffalo.
He's a lot lighter to rear end, though.
Way lighter than this.
Darius Leonard's like, he played like 220 last year.
Can I just throw this out before we continue on? They won't be afraid to hit Derrick Henry is what I'm looking at.
No.
Okay.
And I'm with you. I'm with your theory that I know this is Zaven Collins' first game as a rook.
Yeah.
I think he's got enough talent. I think they'll move him around in some packages to try to disrupt some things on this Titans offense.
Speaking of moving around, Isaiah Simmons, as we keep up, is said to not have a position. He really didn't have one at Clemson.
They're still trying to figure that out. He's that classic tweener thing.
He's a tweener.
Yeah.
But this is another thing about him. His position's lined up in inside linebacker. He's also 6'4", 238.
Mm-hmm.
Can and will play outside. He's going to have an outside rush.
Yes.
Big linebacker group. If you wanted to test as far as his run game is considered, you got one this week, man. I said the Titans could take advantage of the younger secondary, not a whole lot of experience. They're running a 3-4 defense under Vance Joseph. That's my scouting.
And that's why Kari Blassen game is going to be a big part in this in trying to make some holes for 22 Derrick Henry.
I don't know if there's ever been a bigger height and size middle linebacking group than what you're saying. Both of them 6'4", yeah. 240-plus. That's –
I know the Titans, the last I looked, they were 3-point, and then it changed to a 4-point favorite.
Are they really?
At least through Foxbet a couple of days ago, I got an email about that. But you get 3 at home.
Yeah.
So it's a pick 'em kind of game in the eyes of most people. And here's the thing. I think Arizona's probably the weakest team in that division, but they could also make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, their offense doesn't bother me as much as this defense does. In my opinion.
Yep.
I'm telling you right now, if the Titans offense can continue down the path they've been since Ryan Tannehill's been quarterback, then it comes down to what they wanted and needed to improve on and reason that personnel changed. Better on third down, better pass rush.
And we say this too, also the matchup between Taylor Lewan and whether it's Chandler Jones, very similar to JPP. J.J. Watt comes over to that side. This is a good test.
When you need Taylor Lewan to settle down,
yeah.
he's going to be so fired up because he's coming back. Tamp that down just a little bit.
And
keep it powder dry.
We hadn't really given a whole lot of credit to Chandler Jones out of Arizona. One, because it's a West Coast team, basically not a whole lot of prime
time. We don't see – the Titans don't see those guys but every 4 years also.
Right. He's been killing it for a while.
Oh,
it was 2 years ago.
He was one miss. He was a miss for Belichick.
Yeah.
You mentioned it. He's got 97 sacks.
Yeah. Well, the Patriots usually trade a guy a year before his value drops.
Yep.
They thought that was going to happen, and it didn't happen with Chandler Jones.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. What was it, 2019, his sack total? If I can find that really quick, guys. Yeah, 2019, he was at 19, and nobody was talking about him.
Right.
Nobody was talking about him having 19 sacks that year. I think Aaron Donald's won the
He's the defensive Keenan Allen.
Boom.
That's a good analogy. I like that.
He's
not talked about enough.
Yeah.
Considering what he's accomplished.
This team ain't a pushover despite
this could be a barn burner Sunday.
So Rhett, set us up for the weekend.
Whew.
Well, first of all, Keith Bullock returns tonight with Titans Tonight with voice of the Titans, Mike Keith and Amy Wells.
Yep.
That's at 6 o'clock right here on 104.5 The Zone. And then, you know, coverage on Sunday starts pretty early. I think Buck Rising starts at 9 o'clock.
That's right.
And then the Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff with Mickey Ryan and Kevin Dyson, Blaine Bishop. And then our show, Titans Countdown at 11, kickoff at noon with Mike and Coach Mack. And, you know, it's all day long, game day all day. That's
game day all day, and it's game week. We got one more sleep before the NFL season officially kicks off tomorrow, Rhett. We're looking forward to a fun season with you and a fun season with these Titans. There's going to be a whole lot to talk about
there
in the next few months.
And we're going to leave it in the right place, Inky Johnson, with the week.
We need it.
Midweek motivation.
Indeed. Yeah. We will bring Ink on to finish us off. That's next. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. We're finishing up the final hour of the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio. Appreciate Rhett Bryan joining us for Scout Meeting Wednesday.
Yeah,
as we broke down what's going to happen, what we think, or certainly what we're going to be paying attention to on Sunday between Arizona and Tennessee. You'll hear it starting with Buck Rising at 9 a.m. Sunday morning, taking you all the way through postgame here as the Titans 2021 season begins. We'll continue to break that down over the next few days. Tomorrow's going to be a fun show. I don't know what all Schaaf might have planned. I know there's a whole lot of audio to play. Tomorrow is the official 1 year anniversary of our on air beginning. Yesterday, I guess, would have been the 1 year anniversary of the ink drying and everything being ready to roll. So, we're going to have fun. We had a cake brought in yesterday, and I don't honestly know what to expect tomorrow. I know we're going to obviously be previewing the games as you would anticipate, but we're going to have some things we've forgotten that have happened, and certainly it'll be a fun day for the fam. And if you happen to have picked us up along the way, first off, thank you for that. But maybe it'll be some stuff you haven't heard yet, some deep cuts and things like that from maybe before you joined what we're doing here on J. Martin Ramon. But we appreciate it. You can tweet us at J. Martin Ramon as well. And Buck's going to have Bud Dupree coming up a little bit later on today, so definitely check that out. I think it's 11:15. Bud's going to join Buck, so that'll be a great conversation with the two of them. We should have Inky Johnson here in a second. But I think the thing that we get out of week one with the Titans and the Cardinals is simply this isn't just some tomato can nothing game. No. It's a team that you will have to show up against to beat. And they can exploit things that you are maybe concerned and have question marks about in terms of what they can do with their receiving core against your secondary. You're going to get a look at the things that you want to see whether or not the Titans have stepped up this year.
Yeah, you will. And to your same point being made, this is not a cookie-cutter type of game. You don't expect to just roll them over and them just to stay there. Like Jay said, they got their hands full with their own division as far as the NFC West goes. You know, this will be a good team. If for anything, they got the personnel to get the job done. As we just talked about, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what this middle linebacker group do for them.
Yeah, no question. This guy has been with us. I don't know how long we've been doing the midweek motivation, but it was a couple months in.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, I think we started it.
Superstar.
And we've had it every single Wednesday since, with tomorrow being our one-year anniversary. Great to send off the first year, really, since I guess year two begins tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Year two.
All right. Inky Johnson, our brother, joins us on the line. Ink, what's going on?
My guys, man, y'all coming up on that one-year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Congrats, fellas.
Appreciate you, Ink.
Yeah, we haven't been fired yet, Ink. We credit you for that because you motivate us so well.
Not at all, man. It's an honor to be on, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, because we know you're a busy, busy man. Now, real busy, Ink. That's all I got to say.
Oh, no, Mo, let me give you props before I start, man. Great job on that trailer, man. For the balls,
yeah.
Man. That was powerful. That was incredible. Great job on the voiceover, man. You inspired me. You had me ready to go, man. So awesome job.
Ink, I appreciate, man. They upped me up a little bit by saying they chose me over you, and I knew they was lying. So I'm playing, Ink. They didn't say that.
Hey, I love it, man. I love it, baby.
You always take it too far, yeah, man.
I do always go too far, but that's us, Ink. That's us.
Hey, J-Mar, you know, I'm used to it. You know, I've been around him so long, so I know the game he plays, bro. It wouldn't be right if he didn't take it too far.
You see what I'm saying?
Hey, man, you crack hardest at the ones you love, right?
Absolutely, and I love my brother, Ink, right. Man.
That's right.
All right, take
but
us
man,
home,
I got
brother.
I got a great message for us this morning that applies to every aspect of life. You know, oftentimes when I speak, people think I'm just speaking and it pertains to sports, but when I speak, oftentimes the platform may be sports or the platform may be corporate or education, but the message transcends all, right? I like to speak and have carryover in my messages to where you can take, you can pick, you can plug in any area and aspect of life. And so oftentimes when you look at us as people, skill set is incredible, right? Oftentimes when you look at us as people, determination, perseverance, resilience, right? People are incredible in terms of what they possess. Now, discovering the skill set, discovering what they possess, it's a whole nother deal. But oftentimes we have what it takes in terms of the ingredients to acquire a level of success, whatever that means to us. And so I was saying to a guy last week, I said, man, you got what it takes, right? But oftentimes we don't realize that it's going to take everything that we got. You got what it takes in terms of the perseverance, in terms of the character, in terms of the dedication to have and acquire a certain level of success. Oftentimes people have that. But Denzel had a quote that was so potent and so powerful that in its simplicity, it was yet profound. And he said this. He said, you have what it takes to be successful, but do you have the guts to fail? And oftentimes, people are so paralyzed by the opportunity to fail, meaning when they start something and they have an opportunity, a gap, a blind spot, that failure can happen, people get paralyzed by it and they don't have the guts to fail because people look at success and failure and they think it's two opposite things. No, failure is a part of success. Lessons are a part of success, right? Adversity, opposition, it's a part of success, right? When you take it from the realm of sports, you're going to go through some things. You're going to call the wrong place sometimes. It's a part of success. When you take it to business, sometimes things are not going to go the way you want it to go. Sometimes that deal may not go through. It's a part of success, right? When you take it to everyday life, sometimes we're going to communicate things wrong with our spouse, with our children. It's a part of success. Right. Oftentimes people have what it takes to be successful. But do you have the guts to fail? That's my time. God bless you. Go get him.